With Baptist Church. Good to be back in the great state of Tennessee. And I grew up in the state of Ohio, had the privilege of going to Crown College of the Bible just south of here. And my wife and I lived our first two married years down in Knoxville. So we've actually lived in the state of Tennessee, had those Tennessee plates on the back of our cars there for a little while before we headed off to the mission field. But we're glad to be here with you this morning. I'm thankful for your pastor. And I was saying this morning, I've known your pastor probably about 16 years now. Just when I was a really young guy, I'm still kind of young, but when I was really young, met up with him and when he was still there in Pennsylvania and was able to go by the church there and everything. And actually, we met up with him, I think it was one of our, maybe 8 years or so ago on deputation furlough. We met up on a missions conference. We were in the same conference and we had a great time there. Just a great heart for the Lord, and I appreciate his passion for the Lord and those things. But yeah, we had a great time with Macy and Emily when they came, and they were a real blessing to our family, and I got to see a lot of things about Peru, and thankful for how the Lord has worked in their lives. And we know the Lord guides our footsteps, each and every one of them. And he allows things to happen for a certain reason. And I'm grateful for that. I'm thankful the Lord guided me in the way that he did. I grew up in a pastor's home, but the Lord didn't call me to preach till I was 18 years old. And didn't call me to the mission field till I was about 18, 19 years old as well. So, but the Lord always prepares us for what he wants us to do. And that's the wonderful thing about the Lord, isn't it? That he's patient with us, and he's merciful, and he's loving, and as the Lord fills our lives and fills us with him, that's what he desires for us to show to others. It's easy to, if I were the Lord, I'd, and we say something. But thankfully the Lord didn't do the same thing to us, really. And so we know that he's working, and he's a wonderful Lord. And we've been in the mission field in Peru for the last 12 years, serving in the city of Tacna, Peru. God willing, in the evening, we'll speak a little bit more about that matter, present the field a little bit more to you in the evening service, so I encourage you to be out. We have a special presentation, a DVD presentation. It's a couple minutes that hopefully will be a help to you. But pray for our family. We have our display set up out in the front. So if you get out and pick up a prayer card, we definitely treasure and desire the prayers of God's people. So we would definitely appreciate your prayers and help us in along the way. And as we travel along the churches, last Sunday, I'm going to think, sometimes I get mixed up on my Sundays, but last Sunday we were in Pennsylvania and in Maryland. And so we made our way down south and next week we will be, let's see, where are we going to be next week? And kind of all runs together. But we'll be in Pennsylvania again next week, Lord willing, at a mission conference for a couple days. So we'll be getting up and around. And then later on the week after, we'll be heading down to West Virginia for a conference. So a lot of travels, but the Lord is good. He keeps us exactly as he would have us to be. If you take the word of God with me this morning, and I'm thankful that your pastor gave me the opportunity to preach today. When we set up the meeting, and I asked him, would you like me to be in the morning or the evening? And he said, both. I'm going away that day. I'd love to have you for both if you can. And so we looked at the schedule and things worked out, and we're going thankful for that. And I'm thankful for your pastor and his love for the Lord. Acts chapter number 8, and in verse number 26, Acts 8, 26, and we'll read just a few verses to start out and get the context here, but like to share a message here out of this passage that the Lord's worked on my heart about. I pray that he can help all of us this morning and encourage us in that way. Acts chapter 8 and verse 26, the Bible says, "And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise and go toward the south, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority, under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning, and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, understandest what thou readest? Let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time. Thank you for your blessings, dear Lord, upon us that we've been able to gather in this place this morning. Thank you for Helenwood Baptist Church, dear Lord, and the people here that love you and desire to do your work. Pray that, Lord, you bless Pastor Barnhouse as he's away preaching in Michigan. Help him, dear Lord, at these very moments that he might be opening your word, that you'd fill him with your spirit and help him, dear Lord, in a mighty way. We also, dear Lord, pray that you would meet with us here this morning and that your Holy Spirit would be honored in a lovely way, dear Lord, and that your word would be lifted up, because we know that you've lifted your word up above your own holy name, dear Lord. And that's a powerful thing, dear Heavenly Father. So please help us as we come before you with a spirit of reverence this morning to hear your word preached, we pray and ask. Help our hearts to be open, and that our minds and hearts, dear Lord, would be in tune with what you would have for us, and that you would teach us something today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I wanted to mention, thank you so much for the kind accommodations. He had us out in the cabin. How many of you know where the cabin is? Well, if you got up there, you might not have got back out. You got a bad rainstorm or something up there. But we kind of did the same thing the other day in North Carolina. But the problem there in North Carolina in the mountains, we just kept going up and up and up and up. And I said, am I going to get back down? Or how am I going to get back down is the thing? Or am I going to be able to remember the way back down? But we got out there in the woods. I think we're out there really isolated, so the kids yell real loud that nobody's going to complain about anything. So our neighbors are the deer. Are there bears out there? There might be some bears. Okay. Well, we'll try to stay away from them, but the deer are all right. But we're thankful for that so very much, and we had a good night's rest last night. Acts chapter 8, verse 26, we see a man here by the name of Philip, and God used Philip in a special way. And it's interesting, as we were talking about how the Lord moves and His will, at times we can't go and say, well, the Lord's going to do this, this, and this, because He's the Lord, He can do whatever He wants to do. But we find here that Philip is in a revival meeting in Samaria. You read the verses previous, that in verse number 5, God leads Philip to Samaria. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsies and that were lame were healed. And there was great joy in that city. So we see here the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ arrives to Samaria. Anybody else remember? Anybody remember another person in Jesus' ministry that he reached in Samaria? How about the woman at the well? Remember her? She got saved by the grace of God and a number of other people. We read the Word of God, and Jesus convinced and preached and taught, and people came to Christ, but there were many there in Samaria that still did not know the Lord. And so they went to Samaria, and Philip, God used Philip there in a special way to preach the Word of God and to be an encouragement to those folks there, and many came to Christ. But we find here in verse number 26 that the angel of the Lord, well, the Lord will lead us wherever He would have us to go. Wherever He wants us to go, He'll lead us. Philip had always been faithful to preach the Word of God. He opened his mouth and he taught the Word of God wherever the Lord took him and wherever He was willing to take him. But it ought to be the same for us. Wherever we go, that the Lord would open our mouth. Amen. And that He would help us in that thing. But we find here, the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, arise and go towards the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza. And here's an interesting phrase, which is desert. Which is desert. Well, we in Tacna, where we live, it's kind of a desert-like place. You get in the city and it's sort of green, and if you water things, everything turns kind of green. But if you don't water, everything dies, because in reality it's a lot of sandy soil around. You go up out of the city and towards Arequipa and into the mountains, it's sand as far as the eye can see, just this sandy soil. And you might say, you might be about like saying, well, go to such and such mile marker and stop there. Alongside the Pan American Highway, looking out, as far as I can see and seeing sand, I'd say, well, why in the world would I want to do that? But maybe Philip felt the same way. The Lord said, go to mile marker such and such down in the desert that's going down to Gaza, and I'll tell you what you need to do down there. Well, It's wonderful. The Lord knows what even there's people in the desert that are going along, and the Lord knows exactly where he wanted Philip to be. So maybe we might question, it might be a temptation to question and say, Lord, the desert in my life? Maybe the desert won't be very pleasant. It's kind of hot. There's a lot of sandy soil around. We might get kind of uncomfortable. But many times these are the places that the Lord will bring us through in our physical, even our spiritual life, so that we can be a help to other folks. We find that Philip was taken down here to Gaza, a place that is desert. He says, and he arose and went. He was obedient to the Lord. It would have been really sad if we had read in the next verse and he said, well, Philip decided it was too hot in Gaza down in that area and didn't go. No, he didn't decide that. He decided and said, Lord, whatever you want me to do, that's where I'll go. So we find that our story today, and as we get into the message this morning, it's important that we don't pass these things over, because we must needs be obedient to the Lord in every way, in every day. And you might say, well, I don't know if there's any deserts around here. Well, God might just take us to some place. We might not even know that place or know where it is, but God has a place where he wants to take us. But what's the most important thing? That we be obedient to his calling, to his leading, that we would go where he would have us to go. We find here that a man is going through, and this wasn't any man. He was an important person in the world's eyes. It says he rose and went, behold, a man of Ethiopia. Okay, an African man, and a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship. It's interesting here that he had all the treasure in the world, but he didn't have happiness in the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know, there's a lot of people with a lot of treasure. They got a lot of lands, they got a lot of houses, they got wonderful jobs, they got a lot of things, securities in this world. But they find quickly that without Jesus, there's not true peace. There's not true peace. This man went to Jerusalem, and it's the other sad thing is that he went to Jerusalem, and there wasn't anybody there to tell him about the Lord. All he found was a bunch of ritualistic religion going on there, priests and others there, and they gave him a copy of the Word of God. That's about the best they could do for him, but there was nobody there to tell him the good news and how that Jesus loved him and desired that he would go to heaven. There wasn't anybody, but you know what? God knew that, and God knew that where he was going to be reading, what he was going to be doing. Says here that he was returning and sitting in his chariot, he read Isaiah the prophet. What a wonderful book, the book of Isaiah. How many of you at one time in your life or another have read the book of Isaiah? Raise your hand. Wonderful. And those of you who haven't, I encourage you to read it. And it's 66 chapters, and it's kind of like the divisions of Isaiah are sort of like the Word of God in and of itself. First 39 chapters are sort of like the Old Testament, and there's a lot of bad news there. There's a lot of judgment and things that are going on, but you get from about chapter 40 to 66, which are 27, interesting that that's the number of books in the New Testament, that you find that it's encouraging things. Isaiah 53, reading about the Lamb and the very passage that he's reading here, we find that it takes out of Isaiah chapter number 53. But it says, then the Spirit said unto Philip. Philip was listening to the Holy Spirit of God. Wouldn't it be good this morning if we all just began listening once again to the Holy Spirit of God? Let the Holy Spirit work in and through us. He wants to tell us something every single day. It's interesting that the Word of God says, but the fruit of the Spirit is. Ever notice that little word, is? Heard a message preached on that the other day. Interesting. Is. It's not as was or could be. It is. If we know the Lord Jesus Christ is our Savior and have access to the Holy Spirit of God, we don't get Pentecostal or anything like that. Okay? Perhaps some people have said, well, we don't even talk about the Holy Spirit around here because we don't want to be Pentecostal. That doesn't have anything to do with it. The Holy Spirit, the crown jewel of heaven's gifts given in salvation. Wonderful thing to know the Holy Spirit of God, to be led by the Holy Spirit. Philip loved the Holy Spirit. He was being led by the Holy Spirit of God here. And we must needs love the Holy Spirit, to be led by the Holy Spirit of God and to desire that. But is love, joy, peace? As that's what God desires to shed abroad in our hearts. Philip had this shed abroad in his heart. He had the love of God there in his heart, and he was willing to go down to a desert there in Gaza to tell a poor man, and not a poor man, but he was of means, of course, but a poor man spiritually about the Lord. And he was willing to do that. He was in a comfortable place. He was in Samaria. But he said, I'm willing to go, Lord, and he went. He said, enjoin thyself to this chariot. I imagine that he probably saw the chariot and it was heading on down this way. And he started jogging and said, Lord, you want me to catch up? He said, catch up, Philip. So Philip got in a little exercise along the way. The Bible says the exercise profited a little. I'm sure it profited Philip some. It would probably profit us a lot too, if we got out and did some exercise. But we find Philip went on down the road there, and he had joined himself to this chariot in verse 30. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, understandest thou what thou readest? But isn't that a passage, a question that is so pertinent and so applicable to our times? There's so many people that perhaps have a Bible in their home, maybe even go to a church, but they really don't understand the Word of God. They really don't understand who Jesus is. They don't really understand what God's purpose for their lives are. And wouldn't it be wonderful to be able to instruct and encourage these people as Philip did? Verse 31 says, he said, how can I except some man should guide me? How can I do it? I don't understand what this is saying. It says, and he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. I believe it's important to have to culture relationships with people. God takes us to certain places so that we can form, and I love the word that I've just heard recently, redemptive relationships. Many people that we meet up with, maybe we share the gospel with them or give them a track, invite them out to church or what have you, but many of them will not hear, do not understand the gospel the first time and are not saved the first time. Some are, but the vast majority not. And many times it takes forming a relationship. Philip, just in these few moments that he has to start out, he says, do you know what you understand what you're reading? You know, Philip, what is your name? Philip? Oh, Philip, good to meet you. I fancy you being out here in the desert out here. I didn't expect to meet up with anybody. Philip probably could have said, yeah, I was told by somebody to come on out here that you'd be out here. And probably the Ethiopian eunuch probably didn't understand that. But he said, why don't you come on up here in the chariot? And we could talk about some of these things. And isn't it important, we see here, the verse that he was reading, this is a wonderful verse. The place of the scripture which he read was this, he was led as a sheep to the slaughter. And like a lamb dumb before his shears, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. Talking about the Lord Jesus. Of course, this Ethiopian eunuch, he didn't understand. He had no idea what he was reading here, but Philip came alongside and helped him. Now, in order for Philip to do this, Philip had to have an understanding of the Scriptures. He had to have an understanding of the Scriptures to be able to expound. And the question would be for us today, do we have an understanding of the Scriptures? If someone asks us the same question that was asked Philip by this Ethiopian eunuch, would we be able to give these people a godly, biblical, Jesus-honoring answer? Would we be able to tell them about the Lord? Would we be able to tell them what the Lord has done in our lives? Would we be able to take them to some verses, perhaps even Isaiah 53 and other verses in the Old and New Testament, and encourage people in the Lord? Folks, in this day and time, a lot of things are coming about and things are happening, but the wonderful thing is that the Word of God never changes. Never changed. You could talk with people, and people have experienced certain events, and World War I, World War II, Korean War, Vietnam War, through all that, the Bible never changed. A lot of things changed. We've had presidents come along, and things have happened, and the war there in the Middle East, and all these things, but the Bible never changed through all that. It still continues to be the same. There's power in the Word of God. We'll talk a little bit more about that tonight. But the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Philip didn't go down to this Ethiopian eunuch thinking that he was going to convince this man by some argument that he was going to dream up and tell him. Some sort of dissertation that he was going to try to convince this man educationally that somehow he needed to believe in Jesus. No, Philip just used the Word of God. He just used the Word of God. And I believe that we need to get back to the basics. There's no doubt about it. The devil brings about circumstances so that we can look and say, well, Well, what's going on there? What's it? But we need to quickly run back to the Word of God and say, Lord, would you help me to understand it more? Because and people say, well, it's not applicable to this day and time. I would submit to you this morning that it's more applicable than ever. Amen. To the people that live in this day and time. It's applicable to us, and if it's applicable to us, it's applicable to everybody that we might come in contact Amen. With, everybody in this world. That's why we go and why we tell. There's been people that we met up with in Peru that they had no idea. They didn't understand the Word of God. But thankfully, God, the Lord Jesus, opened their hearts and the Holy Spirit worked, and they trusted Christ as their Savior. What a wonderful thing. I remember talking to a man years ago, and I was talking to him about the Word of God, and he was actually driving us around to some places in the capital of Lima. Lima's a really big city. I try to go there as little as possible, to be honest with you. Very, very big, very chaotic in many ways. But we were there with this man, and he was actually a brother of one of the men in our church, and we started talking to him about the things of the Lord, and my the brother of this man who was in our church, he said, my brother is searching, and I hope that you'll be able to witness to him and talk to him while you're there. The first day, we talked, and we kind of maybe broke the ice a little bit, but there came a point, I think that was on Monday, there came a point when the Lord said, okay, stop talking. No more for today. And I wanted to keep on talking, but no, the Lord said, no more talking for today. So on Tuesday, we came back, and the Lord gave more opportunity. We began to talk and to share some parts of the Word of God, and I believe gave him a track that he could read. And he was definitely searching. He was looking. There was no peace or happiness in his life and in his heart. On Wednesday, the Lord really started breaking through. That's when I said, well, Lord, we were scheduled to go back to fly out of the city to go back on that Wednesday. But the Lord worked it out where we had to stay an extra day, and we stayed till Thursday. And we got our flights changed and everything. So my wife went back on Wednesday with the kids, and I stayed an extra day Thursday to be able to pick some things up. Well, that was exactly what the Lord knew exactly about that. And we were just praying Wednesday night there in the hotel room, praying that God would give the words to say. And did he ever. On Thursday, we had probably one of the more wonderful 2 hours of my life, most wonderful being able to testify this man. I don't even remember all the verses I shared. There were so many that honestly, the Holy Spirit just gave one verse, and we went to another. And he said at the end, I've been in Mormonism, and I've been in, seen every religion that there possibly is. My dad was a bishop in the Mormon church, but these things, and I had American Mormons in my home talking, but he said it just didn't add up, and I just didn't feel peace in my heart. But on that Thursday, I remember that he trusted Christ as Savior. And as he prayed, I knew that he understood. And I thank the Lord that he just would allow me to be the one that would share with him. It's a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful thing to be able to share. So it's not about us having a lot of being very eloquent. It's not about us just being the most outgoing people in the world. I'm not outgoing. In fact, if you knew as backwards as I used to be and was and still am, you'd say, well, how in the world is he going down in Peru and preaching and all these things? The Lord gives us exactly what we need. As we're obedient to Him, if we're a little bit shy and not outgoing, the Lord helps us to be that way so that people can hear the Word of God. So as we are outgoing with the Word of God, God will bring us to people that we can speak to. It may not be every day, but there may be a couple, maybe a person or two a week, maybe a month, maybe a couple even in a year that the Lord will bring us in contact with that said, you're the indicated one. You're the one that I want to, and that as we go in the Holy Spirit and go refreshed with the Word of God on our hearts and on our lips and ready to speak with the Lord, the message that the Lord has given to us, the great message of salvation. We find here that Philip goes in, he sits down with this man. It says that in verse 34, he asked him some questions. The eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? What a wonderful blessing. Of himself or of some other man? You remember those, I don't know if any of you ever played baseball. Remember that big fat pitch right down the middle? and you all just dreamed about it, and you crushed it over the fence for about a 450-foot home run. Anybody could hit it. Well, as Philip, as if he were a baseball player, that's about how he felt. Oh, thank you, Lord, right down the middle. Right there, exactly, just perfect. Lord, his heart is ready. What a blessing. He is ready to hear the word of God. It says, verse 35, it says, then Philip opened his mouth. What did he do? Are you talking about the weather and the sports situation? No. It says, it began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus.
Amen.
It comes down to this is the basics of the thing. Being able to preach Jesus to people and being able to help them. There's some verses there that are very encouraging to me. Paul said, I have planted Apollos water, but God gave the increase. You never know just a verse that you might say to a person in passing. There might be a person on the job, but we can mention verses. A verse, well, God sure has been good to me. Oh, the Lord has blessed my life. And that person might get to thinking about that, and that seed has been sown, and someone else down the road and said, well, I've been thinking about that person said God's been good, and they're ready to accept and hear the word of God. Maybe we didn't have the opportunity, but somebody else will. But God gives the opportunity. It doesn't really matter who, to be honest with you. It's just that God gives us the privilege of doing it, being a part of it. You have the opportunity to reach and be a part of reaching other people that I will never meet in my life, that I could never reach out to. And I have the opportunity to reach people and be a blessing and help to folks that you perhaps will never become in contact with. But all of us have a place. Philip had his place here, and he embraced it. He preached unto him Jesus. It says, and as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? So this man understood some basic things. It says, Philip said, in verse 37, and Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God.
Amen.
Oh, that's the key right there. That's the key. And all that Philip was preaching to this man, the man didn't come out with a better opinion of who Philip was. He didn't come out with the idea that somehow he had to work his way to heaven. He didn't come out with the idea that he had to get there and be a part of Philip's church and be baptized in a church so that he could go to heaven. There was nothing like that. He preached to him Jesus.
Amen.
And it came out at the end that this man said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He placed his faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know there's people out there in this day and time that are like this eunuch. Perhaps they have a copy, maybe they have a bunch of copies of the Word of God in their home, but they don't understand. They don't understand what the Word of God says or what the message is or what the principal message is. There was a certain church in our town, and it's not a Baptist church, but my dad was talking to one of the people of the church, and this was a church that years ago preached the gospel. And he was talking to one of the ladies, the church, and she said, I don't know what's going on. We're just losing all of our young people out of the church. I don't understand it. And she said, we're getting together some ideas. I'm going to get together in a meeting and try to figure out why our young people are not staying in the church. And my dad said, well, I'd give you a good thing, a good idea. Teach the Word of God in the church.
Amen.
And as if this were a novel idea, the lady teach the Word of God in the church. A church. And people got social programs. They had a bunch of things. They think that trying to reform a person. Could I tell you this morning that Jesus isn't interested in reforming people?
Amen.
He's interested in transforming
Amen.
People.
Amen.
That's a work that man can't do, could never do in a million years, but that God can do in a moment of time
Amen.
As He changes a sinner's heart. God desires to change us from the inside out. It matters to God who we are before Him, not what we do. Not what we do. Many people, well, I got to do this, and if I do it well enough, maybe God will let me get into heaven. Not anything about that. Because God would never let any one of us be in heaven if it depended on that.
Amen.
But thank the Lord for the Lord Jesus. We say, as we announce what Jesus has done, Jesus did on the cross, and tell about how we got saved, how I put my faith and my trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. On March 17th, it's coming up 2 days, I'm going to celebrate a birthday. Going to be 36 spiritually. March 17th, 1984. It was a wonderful Saturday when I trusted the Lord Jesus Christ. But I understood the plan of salvation. And on that day, I said in no uncertain terms, Jesus Christ is the Son of God and He's the Lord of my life. And He's the one I'm trusting in. But where's that message found? It's found in the Word of God. Folks, we must need to once again get close to the Lord. Get close to the Lord. I think of Dwight L. Moody, and you might have heard of him, for the ministry that he had. But he preached many messages, and he himself said he preached it in the power of his own flesh. And there were a few people who came to Christ. But he said when the Holy Spirit began to use him, and he began to honor the sweet Holy Spirit of God, he preached the exact same messages, but hundreds of people came to Christ. Because that's truly the power that's working through us. We find the same Spirit that took Philip on down to where into the desert was the same Spirit of God that gave him the words that that man needed to hear. Amen. And He'll give us the words that people need to hear. Amen. Parents, He's the one that'll give us the words that our children need to hear as we get close to Him. He's the one that'll give us the words that our co-workers need to hear, that our neighbors need to hear in the Lord's timing. We know that the Holy Spirit, the God, is a gentleman. He doesn't force His way in. But the Holy Spirit is at work. And it is a wonderful blessing that the Lord uses sinful people like us, saved by the grace of God, to be able to do His work. We find Philip, what do we find him doing, though, in Jerusalem? Well, he was one of those guys who was serving. Deacon in the church. And then he gets out and persecution takes place and he heads on up to Samaria. And there he is serving the Lord and serving the Lord. And God said, well, you know what? Philip is a faithful man and I believe I can trust him this job of going out and reaching this man with the gospel. And Philip did it. He didn't preach anything extraordinary. He just told him what Jesus had done in his life. Just preached about what the Bible said in Isaiah 53. That lamb who came to the slaughter, thank the Lord that Jesus didn't open his mouth. He didn't try to get away. He didn't call a bunch of legions of angels to come and destroy the men that were mistreating him in such a way. But he stayed on that cross and he suffered for you and for me that we might have eternal life. And salvation came to that dear man that day. The Bible, of course, doesn't tell us anything about the future of this man, but history tells us that this man went back and he told a lot of people in Ethiopia about the Lord. Ethiopia for a while became a Christian, was like a Christian nation. There's a lot of people who knew the Lord. Of course, that's before the entrance of Islam and such things. But this man was faithful to tell people. And God said, I know exactly where the people are. I will lead you to them. And these people will be the ones that do the work. And you might say, well, just one person? Oh, one person is so important. Jesus died for everyone, but He died for one. When you see Jesus doing His ministry, in His earthly ministry, it's always He's meeting up with individuals. The woman at the well, blind Bartimaeus, Nicodemus, because he couldn't be seen at night, he thought. So Jesus said, no problem, I'll meet up with you and we'll have a little discipleship lesson at night. The other folks, that many folks, the blind, maimed, and that woman who came in that crowd with the issue of blood, and she reached out and she said, I just got to touch Jesus. She was unclean. Technically, folks, she wasn't even supposed to be around there. It'd be like somebody who said, oh, I have the coronavirus. Get out of here. Get in your house. And this woman been about like that. Said, "You, what do you have? Oh, get away from me. You can't be around here." But that woman said, I just got to get close to Jesus today. Got to get close to Jesus. Well, if we had the desire of that woman to get close to the Lord, this morning, today, these weeks, months ahead, will we get close to the Lord? As we get close to the Lord, we find that the things of this earth will grow strangely dim, as the song says, in the light of His glory and grace. The Lord will help us to not be with our head in the clouds, but we'll be guided by the Holy Spirit of God. He'll be able to guide us and lead us. He'll be able to say, right there, Okay. Well done. Now, right there. Okay. There we go. And we never know. And a word said, and we never know what people are going through. Only the Lord knows. We can see faces, but hearts we don't see. And the Lord knows all those things. But you think of Dwight L. Moody, and in his own salvation, a Sunday school teacher who loved him, a man named Edward Kimball, who was such a shy, backwards fella, kind of like me, I guess. He, just an old Sunday school teacher there, and he wasn't even in a good church, to be honest, but the old congregational church, there wasn't much Bible preaching going on in that church, but I'm thankful that that man knew the Lord, and in spite of what was going on there. But he got a burden for this man, for D.L. Moody, and he worked at a shoe shop there, and he went down there one day, and it shows in some of the video, the people have tried to depict the scene, that it says that he stood outside the door and he paced back and forth for quite a while before he finally got the courage up to open the door and go inside. He finally chose to open the door. He went back, and he didn't have a lot of flowery, nice words to say. He just put a hand on his shoulder and said, "You know, D.L., I've been praying for you, and I've been come to tell you about Jesus today, and Jesus loves you." And he turned and looked, and he was weeping as he talked to the man. And D.L. Moody said later on, he said, I hadn't even wept for my own soul. And there was a man who I barely knew weeping for my soul. He said, that was something that impacted me. And I trusted Jesus on that day. I don't know if Edward Kimball ever won another person to the Lord. He may have. I hope that he did. But he did. The Lord gave him that job. And because of the work that God allowed him to do, D.L. Moody won millions to the Lord. We never know where the next D.L. Moody might be. Never know where the next Charles Spurgeon, next David Livingston, William Carey, they might be right in our midst today. Amy Carmichael. We don't know. We don't know. Only the Lord knows. But what we must do is to be like Philip. Will we be guided by the Lord? First of all, will we be serving the Lord? The Lord's going to use people who are serving. We talked about in the Sunday school class this morning that we need to be in our church serving and helping and being a part of what God has brought together here. And as we are serving, God will give opportunities. We find that Saul, when God called him to preach, as soon as he got saved, he was about serving the Lord, whatever he could do. And they said, "We don't want you in the church here, Paul, but God says I need to be in a church. Barnabas, come and try to help these people to understand I'm not going to kill them so I can get in here. This is where I need to be. God said I need to be here." And Paul was convinced, and he began, and God opened doors, and he was serving, he was working. And the church at Antioch, they were there praying, and they said, "Send out Barnabas and Saul." What was Paul doing? He was right there praying with them, serving, working, whatever he could possibly do. And may we be the ones that are serving the Lord, serving in whatever way possible, getting close to the Lord, finding precious our time with the Lord each and every day in His Word, so that we can be like Philip. And ask that the Lord would give us a heart to know His Word. It's like hid treasure. Talks about like hid treasure. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. As we fear the Lord, not a fearful that He's going to strike us dead, but fear, reverence, we're going to be looking at His Word. He's going to help us to know His wisdom. Wisdom, what is it? It's knowing God. We get wisdom by knowing the Lord, by knowing His Word. Many a preacher who never went to Bible college preached the Word of God with such authority and with such power and with such love that people came to Christ. And why? Because the Holy Spirit taught him, and I'm all for a Bible college education. All for those things, but reality, all of us need to be taught in some way. Philip, no doubt, was taught as he served. Moses, God had to take him out to the desert for 40 years to get his attention. Find Joshua, we find that he was serving Moses there, serving the Lord. It was Moses' servant. He was before the Lord, detained before His presence, and God filled him and used him. Finds in other places that Elijah, well, he got out of the way, but God, in spite of him getting out of the way there, God came and met with him. Jesus, before his ministry, before his earthly ministry, 40 days in the wilderness. It said that he was led by the Spirit of God. That was God's will that he should go there. So there's some things that God wants us to do. Someone who just kind of sitting idly by, well, I hope God gives me something to do, will not be the one who receives the privilege of the privilege that Philip had. But may we all be busy about what the Lord would have us to do. May we be willing to learn the Word of God. And now you say, well, my mind in this day and time, I can't remember what I did yesterday, much less memorize a Bible verse. Well, may we read it, and we read it, and read it, until it finally sinks in. Repetition is the mother of learning. It's the same thing in the Word of God. But I heard someone say one time, and I believe this is true, the habit of prayer, getting alone with the Lord, is wonderful, but the spirit of prayer is even better. The spirit of prayer. May God guide us and may He lead us. May we be like Philip's as we go out into our separate places in this time, in this week, being faithful to go wherever the Lord has sent us. And maybe He might send us to the desert. But may we meet up with the person there that the Lord might have us to meet. And may we have a sweet word from the Lord on our lips and ready to speak whatever God would have us to say, pointing people to Jesus. Are we willing to do that? Am I willing to do that? May the Holy Spirit help our hearts and our lives this morning that we'd be more like the Lord in that way and be like Philip as he went out and spoke the Lord his word. Let's pray. Heads bowed and eyes closed this morning. No one looking around. And we'll have a brief time, a prayer and an invitation where, first of all, we'll invite, if you're here this morning, the message wasn't specifically about